We're going to pick up where we left off in chapter 5, and we'll get through about the first 8 verses of chapter 6. We got through verse 10, and so 1 through 10 of chapter 5, and it even started in chapter 4 and verse 14. What are we talking about here? Christ as a high priest. And specifically in verses 1 through 4, what are some things that are being discussed? What are some things that are requirements of a high priest? Or what are some things they do?
Well, he offered sacrifices for the people sacrifices for himself, because he had sin too. And because he was beset with weakness also. And,
okay.
It then talks about Aaron, and we know that Aaron was a high priest, had to be appointed, had to be a descendant of Aaron. And,
mm-hmm. You
know, they was appointed by God for Aaron and his family to be the high priest.
Okay, so Jesus has these requirements. We saw a few of them earlier on in the first 4 chapters. But why is he able to be high priest when you just said that it's under the tribe of Levi? Okay, through the order of who?
Melchizedek. He wasn't a Levi.
Okay, right. And he starts that a little bit, and he actually gets into it further in chapter 7, which we'll get to. He offered up these vehement cries and prayers. He was heard. And he learned obedience. He was suffering, and he is appointed according to the order of Melchizedek. We pick up in verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Right here we see he's not talking about any specific thing except Christ's high priesthood. He has a lot to say about it. There is a lot we can say about it. There's a lot that goes into it as far as the requirements, what the high priest does, how Jesus fulfilled these requirements, and how he is our high priest. And then he'll jump into the order of Melchizedek further in chapter 7 and go into detail with that. There's a lot to say, and there's a lot that he needs to get across in this short epistle to Hebrews. And he says that it is hard to do this because why? Because they have become what? Dull of hearing. So what's that imply? In the simplest form, they don't listen. They have a lack of desire. They're not diligent in this. They're not quick to righteous things and spiritual things. We talk about being a spiritually minded person, and the spiritual man knows the things of the spirit, but the carnal man does not. Those who do not have that interest are not going to be looking toward these things. They're not going to be listening. It's not going to be something of value to them. And because of this, it's hard to get these points across. These Hebrew Christians had not been listening. This is not talking about a physical impairment, but obviously, as Randy said, they just don't want to listen. It's a lack of interest in this. And so we jump to verse 12, and that's where kind of this concept through the 8th verse of chapter 6 was started in verse 11. They have become dull of hearing. In verse 12, he says, "By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So what's the image that's placed here? What's he painting a picture of as an example of what they're doing and being dull of hearing?
Not learning. Not as far as their learning is concerned about the gospel, they're not where they should be.
Exactly.
They're still kind of like a beginner.
Right. I think it paints a pretty almost ridiculous picture of a grown individual still being nursed by his mother. That milk that a baby needs, that a baby is nourished by, eventually you get to a point where you're eating solid food. And we see that picture painted here. They should already be teachers, but they're needing to be taught again the milk of the word. What's the milk of the word? the first principles. And we'll see that in the next chapter. He'll get into some of those first principles that he's referring to, and we won't spend much time on those, but we'll just make mention of those when we get there. But the first principles of the oracles of God, and that is the milk of the Word. And so what would be the meat of the Word?
How you're saved, but how you live your life, the principles, your attitude, okay. All the stuff that helps you to grow. And I don't think you were there, but at the last singing we had at Brandon's house, Josh talked on this subject. And really okay. So if we're not, you know, a lot of people have been in church for a long time, they get to a point where they're comfortable. But, all right, I'm to a point where I know quite a bit, and I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. But God pretty much says in the Scriptures, you're not continuing to grow, you're not pleasing to Him. That's not a place where you want to be. Or you have enough knowledge and you don't need to study anymore. If you're not continually maturing or being perfect, you know, as Scripture talks about continually growing, you're not pleasing to Him, and that's not acceptable. And these people, evidently, they weren't even content with being with a solid food. They hadn't even got to that point, so they were really bad.
Okay, we talk about the knowledge of salvation. What do you need to do to be saved? And when you reach that point and you obey the gospel, you already know something that you can teach to others. And when you have that ability, when it comes up in conversation or in your life, you should be able to get the point across what you had to do at the very least to be saved. And the thing is, when that is able, and you should be able to do that, as a newborn babe and as a convert, you should at least be able to get across the pure milk of the Word, having already been taught it yourself and come to obey it. That's all they know, and they even don't have a firm grasp on that. It says, for by this time, when you talk about a specific amount of time or something, he's not mentioning a specific amount of time here. He's showing that there is an elapsed time from when they obeyed the gospel to where they are now. That is enough, it is sufficient for them to have grown to have the meat of the Word. In Matthew 28:19-20, he says to teach, to go and baptize all the people, making disciples of the nations, and then teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. So first comes the baptism, that's the pure milk of the Word, and that's obeying it, and then there's some growth, some progression. Is he saying that it's wrong, or babes here are a negative thing? Is that a negative thing to be a babe in Christ?
It's hard to have on your man in Christ.
Okay, exactly. He's not bringing a negative thing on to being a babe in Christ. These individuals really weren't babes in Christ, but they were acting like it. And that's the negativity there. You should be full grown. You should be mature. You should be able to teach, but you're still in the position where you were back when you were first converted. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. When we consider the pure milk of the Word and you obey the gospel, that individual does not necessarily have a firm grasp on other doctrine. Doesn't have a firm grasp on between what's right and wrong. And here they are in that position, even though they should know. Here in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He says, beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked. There is a potential in not having knowledge to be led away. Be tossed to and fro like every wind of doctrine. And there is a danger for that. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge. And so knowledge is beneficial. Knowledge is important. And really, and to some extent, knowledge is essential to salvation. We're not going to get to heaven based upon, I know more than this individual. But when it comes down to discerning good from evil, as we see in the last verse, that's going to get you to heaven or not. You're going to know what's good and what's evil. And if you haven't applied yourself, you don't have the sufficient knowledge to discern between good and evil, then there's that potential of falling away. And so there's a danger of ignorance. We saw that with the Israelites, and there's a danger of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. It said, solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their exercise means to have experience through what they've been through. They know between good and evil, and they are able to apply the things they've learned. They're able to apply the word. They're able to put it into action. And so those who are experienced and have been practicing this, have been growing, have been in that that progression as a Christian instead of sitting idle and being as a newborn babe. Go to Philippians, the first chapter. If you have any comments or questions, just let me know. Philippians, the first chapter. In verse 9, Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent and be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So this comes through knowledge. And he wants to be able to prove those things that are righteous and discern between good and evil, that they may be here and be righteous in the day of Jesus Christ so that they can have that hope of heaven. Going over to 1 John, there's that same kind of ability that we should have as Christians. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 24, he says, "He who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." If you are a babe, if you are a Christian and you are still needing the pure milk of the Word, are you going to be able to test the spirits and know what's right and what's wrong? Are you going to be able to listen to a sermon or a message preached and be able to know for sure that that's what the Word of God brings across? No, you've got to come to that. And when you fall back and you're only desiring the pure milk of the Word, or you're only able to digest the pure milk of the Word, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and faith toward God and all these things, as he's going to talk about in chapter 6, then these other things are going to transcend your ability of thinking. And that shouldn't be so after the amount of time of being a Christian. Now, babes in Christ are told to desire the pure milk of the Word. They're supposed to do this. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 2, he says this. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, after laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious." Though the milk of the Word is a necessity. It's a step toward that progression, toward being one who can receive that meat and digest that meat. And when we understand that, we know that it's not the only step, and that it's just the first one and the step of many in gaining more knowledge. When you talk about a real baby, they have to have this certain amount of nutrition. If the mother can't nurse them, you get the formula, and there's things that that baby needs. Eventually, I think there's at some point where nursing, breastfeeding no longer is beneficial. I don't know exactly when it is, but it comes to a point where they need something else, something more. And so there's that progression there. It has its purpose, it has its place, but we have to go further. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul gives this charge to Timothy, and it kind of goes along with this. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We have to be diligent, and we have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. With that, we can see what's right, what's wrong. We have the knowledge we need, and we can progress to being a better individual for Christ. And that takes diligence. It takes that ability and that interest in this. He said, "Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer." You aren't going to know what's a profane and idle babbling if you don't grow, if you're just partaking of the pure milk of the Word, or if you can't even digest that at that time, if that's too far above your way of thinking at that time. And that's the point he's getting across. Here's a concept that you should already know. Here's a concept that you should be able to understand, and that Christ is our high priest, and this is why, and this is the effect it has, and the benefit we have from it. And it's hard to explain this to you because you're as if you were a new convert. You know, this is above you because you haven't progressed. You haven't been working hard toward this. Any comments or questions about chapter 5?